Find us on Infender.com and join our Discord and ask a question in the question board.
We put the donkey in Donkey Kong. Infender Radio is on now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infender Radio 718, I think. I don't know. Apparently, it's the it's the Mrs. Doubtfire episode. That's what whoever said that sounded like to me. Hello, everybody. Whatever, however,
it was
that
a
goes.
Seinfeld reference, but I'll Hello. Take Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah,
yeah. There's
a
difference Seinfeld. In tone between the two.
Hi, Seinfeld, which one is the, oh, I know which one. Okay, this is not the
Hello, this, la, yeah, la, la.
Yeah, this is not the 90s pop culture podcast.
Yeah, I'm showing my age again.
I'm joined with Robin Williams and Danny DeVito. How are you guys doing tonight?
Ooh, it's an interesting mix.
I am ready to talk about some video games. I actually played some video games this week, believe it or not, so I'm even ready to talk about those. But, you know, before we get into any of that, I feel like we haven't done any, like, checking in on the stuff that you guys are doing. Justin, how's the park bench? You doing any writing over there? What's going on?
I'm getting something off the ground. I did a little bit of updating of the site earlier this week, kind of in preparation for something coming. I've got a couple reviews I've got to write, and I've got a new host for what's going to be my YouTube channel, so hopefully there'll be something worth talking about within the next month or two.
We got a little preview of your host earlier today. Brandon, how are you doing, and what do you have
to
plug? By
the way, for those of you listening who don't know what we're talking about, that's thedisneyparkbench.com.
Yeah, the good
check
one.
Check it out.
What do you plug in, Brandon, or what's going on in your life this week?
Oh,
I plugged your mom last night.
Reboots, of course, but, you know, I got my tax refund, so all my goodies showed up all at the same
time. Yeah.
They were supposed to be spaced out, but they weren't because UPS sucks. and yeah, imagine coming back and like, oh, a signature thing. I'll just sign this. Hopefully I'll get this tomorrow. Pick it up and it says, you must go to the Michaels to get this now. You weren't here. And the worst part was like when I was driving in, he was like, I saw the UPS driver. He was crossing the road and I stopped so we could cross the road.
That's terrible.
And then, like, I drive up to my road and see, that son of a bitch! He's gonna bring it to the Michaels! Monday. Ah! So,
yes. I went through something similar with Lowe's earlier this week, so.
I thought
that was my mistake. I thought they were gonna receive the item this Tuesday, and it's next Tuesday, so. Hooray for delayed home improvement.
I'm used to convenience and shipping these days. I'm not used to these shenanigans. so I got a Quest 3, and I got my new 3D printer, which has been my focus for the last 2 days.
Nice.
I'm watching the Benchy's printing. The Benchy's printing right now.
The Benchy, it's always nice to get a completed Benchy. I do two, though. I do a Benchy and I do a calibration cube because I don't know, I just like to. And
I just did the boat until it came out right.
The boat is this, but the boat's the Benchy. That's
the boat's
Benchy.
The Benchy. I got the boat. The boat's done. We did it. Anyway.
Nice.
Pretty fast little guy. So that's what I've been up to.
Y'all make me jealous with your new 3D printers.
Man, I wish it was a lot more.
Yeah. I've had my eye on like more expensive 3D printers that I absolutely don't need. And instead of getting those, I have been paying our family veterinarian because of vet bills. But we're not talking about that either. We're going to talk about some video games. I want to talk about some Switch rumors and, you know, just, I guess, rumors in general, as it were, this week, because that's kind of how things are these days. It sounds like there's potentially going to be a Lego collaboration in some way. What was that one about? Did you guys see the rumors on the Lego thing?
It's a Mario Day potential thing. Rumor.
So, like, maybe...
Yeah, the last thing I need are more Mario Lego sets that I'm going to put together and then lose.
That would be something that...
How did you lose the television? How'd that happen?
Oh, no, no, that's still in one piece, and I still have my Mario, Luigi, and Princess Peach, like, Lego figures, but all the other things are just all over the place.
Sure. I would probably get a Mario Lego set thing if they did... Remember they did the NES one? If it was, like, actually working, like, a... almost like an NES mini, like even if I could just like play one game, like just let me play Mario by plugging in my Lego thing that I built, I would buy that. And I don't know why, because I'd probably plug it in once and be like, cool, then like never do it again.
Now it goes to the shelf.
Yeah, exactly. But like put a little HDMI cable in that thing and like a Raspberry Pi and I'm in. I will buy your little contraption. What else? Sounds like there was some more Switch rumors. I think the only one that really popped into my feed was them talking about more about the delays in March and then the March date seeming more likely. But, you know, 3 months ago, I think they were talking about it potentially launching in November. So who freaking knows? But
we'll have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, more and more likely that Switch is not coming this year. Any, you know, I think we talked about that probably the last couple of weeks, but you know, what are you guys' thoughts? Like any feels? You guys, did that hit you in the feels at all?
Yeah, I think it's likely to be delayed. But again, since we never really had official confirmation that it even existed, can you really call it a delay?
Sure. Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, so...
My theory is still Sony announced a November release of the PS5 Pro, and Nintendo's like, you know, we'll just wait till next March. Screw you.
Sure. Yeah, it's... I guess it's just a waiting game at this point, which, you know, I'm fine with. I think that my Switch is going to be still getting some playtime this year and year... Gosh, when did that thing come out? 2017, right? So we're... well into year 7 of this thing? Is that right? Oh my gosh. Have I been playing the Switch for 7 years? That seems crazy.
If nothing else makes you feel old, this podcast, that's got to be up there.
Right.
It's already been 7 years of Switch.
Yeah, it seems... It doesn't seem like that long ago, but like when I really... think about it, I was like, oh yeah, that was like another, that was a whole like 3 hosts ago, you know, like we've cycled through a couple of different Infendo hosts in that time period. So yeah,
I've had 3 different employers in that time frame.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so okay, well, there's a little bit more stuff that's coming out of like the Pokemon trading card game. It looks like it's launching this year. I don't think that we got anything else other than another like short video. Did you guys see that another video that launched on the Twitter
about the
I think I saw it, but I don't think I watched it, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah, the Pokemon trading card game thing that they're probably gonna eke all my money out in addition to the Pokemon Go money that I've allocated. But yeah, it looks really cool. I'm so ready for this game. I just really want them to tell me when it's gonna happen, or it just like release one day, you know, like I wake up in the morning and there's a Twitter notification and everybody's freaking out because it's here, you know, like that'd be cool too. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And that's kind of all the stuff that I saw on my feed. What did I miss? Brandon, Justin, I know we were talking about some stuff pre-show, but I think I might have hit it just about everything.
Well, there's the Switch emulator.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Which coincidentally happened right after I started installing emulators on my Steam Deck. So, you know.
Right. Yeah, the Yazoo, I think is how you pronounce it, or Yuzu or whatever.
Yuzu, like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they took it down like right away.
They have to pay Nintendo $2.4 million.
Yeah, Yeah, Nintendo's bringing their lawyers for real. Like this is, it seems crazy for that. But as far as the preservation community is concerned, like, they're like, I don't care. There was like 1,000 forks of that emulator within like 12 hours or something like that. Crazy. So it's like, okay, Nintendo, I guess.
It's like I said last week, everybody's worried about the disappearance of physical media, and all I have to say is piracy still exists. So yeah. If physical media disappears, you'll be able to download it one way or another.
Yeah, and I, you know, with an emulator of a gaming console that's like out right now, and like, okay, I can kind of see there's a little bit of a gray area there, but at the same time,
I don't know, that's a gray area.
they really want to combat it, they could put out the Switch too.
Sure, yeah totally. But you know, like, I, at the same time, a lot of the stuff, like, what happens when Nintendo servers are gone? You know, that's why there is freaking preservationists out there doing this piracy work, if you want to call it that, you know. So I don't know, I'm of two minds of that. Like how, where else are we ever gonna play the freaking what is that called, the Satellaview Legend of Zelda? Yep. But like on, right, an emulator.
Or Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's like, come on,
you know, these are games that will never come out again, because there's no possible way for them to come out again. Mm-hmm. So you know, this is how we do it, you know. Yeah, that's what we got.
Yep.
You could do Mario Kart online with your 3DS still, thanks to the hacker. So
right.
You.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Totally. And do Animal Crossing, by the way. I was thinking about booting up my New Leaf and going into one of those like weird forums where you can like do that anymore. But anyways, okay, that's the news. I think let's talk about the games that we've been playing. If y'all don't mind, I'd like to go first. I have a new addiction, guys, and it's consumed my life. It had really, really, really consumed my life. It's called Balatro. I don't know if you, meth is my choice. Balatro. It is a card game, basically like poker. It's on the Switch, but it's like so much more than that. Like, it's a card game. Or it's like a poker game where you can, like, power up your cards. So, like, I can have an ace that is, like, you know, a super ace, you know. And if I use that in my deck, then it's going to give me, you know, all the points. And I love it so much. Oh, my God. Balatro. I don't even really know how to describe it very well, but it's on everything. I mean, it's on Steam, it's on PS5, it's on Xbox. On Switch, though,
it's free to play.
No, it's $20.
Okay, right, good. At least it's a paid game.
Yeah, but
who wants it? There you go.
On Switch, though, I guess the only thing I'll say is that if you're listening to us from anywhere other than America, it's not out yet for whatever reason, because I guess they're. I don't know exactly the details, but I think it got pulled from Europe because they were claiming that it was like gambling or something. I don't freaking know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like anything.
At least some European countries have very strict rules about that stuff.
Yeah. But it is just such a incredible game. It really just looks like a cheap video poker, honestly. But it is just so much more. Like, if you look at screenshots, you're like, you know, what is Eugene playing this stupid game for? But no, it's great. Like, I got this power up where like all three of a kinds are like worth more points than anything else. So I, you know, made my deck so that I'm shooting for three of a kinds, and like, I'm just like getting so many points. Like, I got like 10,000 points on like one freaking hand. Oh my God. I love this game.
Speaking of video poker, remind me about this correlation when we get to my change the system.
Okay, I will do that. So there's like Joker cards in this too. They're like tarot cards, I guess, and planet cards and all these crazy cards that you can mix in with it. But at the end of the day, you're basically just playing poker. So yeah, I freaking love it. It is really good. It's kind of a roguelike in that you don't really know what your deck is going to like consist of until you get to it, right? And then you realize, oh yeah, like my deck is, you know, I've got a lot of three of a kinds coming in this deck, so I'm gonna shoot for three of a kinds type of thing, you know, like go watch a YouTube video because I'm not really doing the justice on.
Does it have pretty colors when you do stuff?
I mean, again, it just kind of
do trippy stuff.
Kind of just looks like video poker. Like it's not like, yeah, I guess it kind of like a casino, like ding 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 ding. You know,
like maybe with like every single time you do stuff, like fireworks. Maybe that.
I mean, Puzzle Quest didn't have a whole lot of, you know, flashy things going on, but damn if that wasn't addictive as hell.
It kind of does that, Brandon, but not to like, have you ever played Vampire Survivor, like where it's like, yes, a casino and everything like that?
Yes.
It's not like that, but it gives me the same feeling, you know, like it doesn't have like a treasure chest and it's like, oh my god, fireworks, ding 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 ding.
Room of death?
What's that?
That you're the Roomba of death?
No, it doesn't give me Roomba of death vibes.
That's a completely different game.
But it gives me like when I, you know, like when you get a chest in Vampire Survivor and you're just like at the edge of your seat. Yeah, and you're on the edge of your seat waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I have that same feeling playing this game.
You know, Ocarina of Time, waiting for that cutscene to end.
No, that's when you're waiting for the Zora dude to scoot over to the right so you can freaking finish the stupid level. I highly recommend giving it a go. If you have a computer, go play it on Steam, because you know Steam has a really good refund policy. So if you don't like it, play it for a couple of hours and just like return it, you know, or whatever. Oh, but it's so good. It's got everything I want. I love it so much. Balatro, 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 Balatro. Everybody should be playing Balatro. What else have I been playing? So I have been playing FIFA, or whatever the hell it's called anymore, EA FC 24. I hate saying that, by the way. I'm just going to call it friggin' FIFA. And I suck at that game. I haven't even been playing against Chris lately. I've just been playing against, like, randoms. And that's even worse, because, like, people online are just, like, I don't even know. Yeah, like, it's crazy. Playing FIFA, though, is fun because it's, like, I don't know. I almost describe it as like playing a fighting game, because you're almost doing like button combos to do what you need to do, right? It's like, okay, I need a pass, through ball, square, and then shoot, you know? And so then I know I have to press A-A-Y, X, and then B within quick succession to do what I need to do, you know? That's kind of the way that I see it, as like doing like button combos and to kind of do what I want when you're playing the game at a high level. Not saying that I'm good at this game, but like, again, that's just kind of how it is.
Maybe that's why you're doing bad. You're playing it like a fighting game.
Maybe. You know what? I mean, maybe I need to reevaluate my life there. But yeah, that's EA FC 24.
Quarter circle high punch. Nothing happened.
Well, no, you have to do that though, because like you literally have to do button combinations to do moves in this. Have you ever played a FIFA game?
No, I'm not good. I probably would be worse than you.
So you have to hold like if I want to do like a step over. I don't even know if you know what a step over is, if you don't know what soccer is. But like,
is that where they do a little dance sideways?
Yeah, when you do a little sideways dance, you have to hold L, the left trigger, and then you use like the right stick to like do stuff. So I might have to do like quarter circle, and then it does like two step overs.
Yeah, EA's NHL games have some like funky controls like that. If you want to, like, you can play traditional controls, or you can put on this funky like trigger and right stick control that gives you more precise controls.
Yeah.
But you know, hand cramps.
Yeah, and totally hand cramps. Yeah, because when I want to do like a step over and then, you know, push the ball to the right so that I can shoot it with this player because he's got an excellent right-footed shot, I have to do like curdle circle, and then right stick, and then hold the two left trigger, and it's just like, it's just a lot. And that's why I'm not good at this game, because I'm not good at fighting games either. Like
video game Twister.
Yeah, totally. I remember when
Fight Night,
I'll stick with Mario Strikers.
Well, Well, Mario Strikers Online is almost worse.
It reminds me of Fight Night, where it's just like the weirdest controls ever, but it feels so good.
Fight Night, man. Bring back that sweaty, sweaty game. I would play that game again. So what else have I been playing? Tales of Arise has arisen as my game of choice lately. I just cannot get enough of that. That's like my my main course game these days. And I guess it has to be, since it looks like the freaking Game Pass version has the DLC, which I didn't even know there was DLC. So I'm looking at like 80 to 100 hours of game in front of me. And I just don't know that I'm ready for that. But I'm already 10 hours in, so I'm pot committed. You know what I mean?
I mean, is story pulling you in already?
Or? Story's good. I like the weeby Japanesey stories. You know, I just like that. It's like end of the world. Character has amnesia. Like, it's got all the tropes. You know, it's got everything that you're there for. And I dig it. The gimmick of this world is that there's like two tribes almost, you know, there's like the Danans and then I can't even remember the other name, but like one of them, they're born into like, you know, basically highborns, and they're like, you know, the highborns of society and blah, blah, blah. But the other group of people, they're all slaves. They're like literally slaves. So you're born into one of the slave people, and he has a mask that he does not take off, and he does not remember his anything, doesn't remember his name, doesn't remember where he came from, and off on an adventure you go to murder people. It's a really good
typical video game trope.
Yeah. It's
you're a shy guy.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Yeah, it is a great game to play while doing other things, because unless you want to listen, pay attention to the story, like extra hyper ultra, which I do oftentimes. But like, if I'm just like wandering the world and like doing battles, like trying to level up my thing, then yeah, like I'll watch movies or shows with the wife and not really pay attention, because it actually has a really good auto battle system. So like, I can if you don't know anything about the Tales system, it's basically, it's not a RPG in the sense that it's a real-time strategy. You're actually doing like, you know, like Street Fighter-y stuff, you know, like I'm doing like quarter circles and stuff, and like, you know, actually pulling off moves. But if I don't want to do any of that, I can just toggle it to auto, and then it'll play the game for me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the game grinding the level for me that I need to get to the next boss if I don't want to fight this freaking lizard thing for the like 100th time. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's why I say it's a great game to like play while I'm doing other things. But when I'm actually doing the story, yeah, I'm putting headphones in and listening to the stupid characters yell at each other about the girl is always hungry, so that's funny. She's always yelling at the mask guy to feed her. So yeah, it's, you know, I'm enjoying it. I like the game a lot. And if you've ever played a Tales game, there's like as you're wandering through the world, there's like these what they call skits. And in Tales games of the past, I haven't played one in years, they were all just like, you know, you read the text or whatever. But everything's voice acted too. Like, there's got to be hundreds of hours of voice in this game. So yeah, it is well done. The quality on this game, the production quality is just like, I have never played a JRPG with so much in it. You know, like everything's voiced. There's so much game in there. I'm enjoying my time.
That's the claim to fame to Symphonia, if I'm not mistaken. It's just they pack an amazing amount in. Mm-hmm. There.
Yep, all the Tales games ever since. The first one I played was Fantasia or Tales of P, whatever, the Tales of Fantasia or whatever it's called on the SNES. And then the one that really.
Tales of P.
Yeah, the one that really hooked me in was Tales of Symphonia on the GameCube, so. That one was good.
That might be the only one I partially played.
That one's good. It's not my favorite one, but it's good. It's definitely really good.
I think at the time I only was able to borrow it for a short time, so I didn't get very far.
And I think it's like three discs, two or like two discs, so it's like, yeah, super long.
It was Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah. But okay, well, that's enough of me talking because I feel like I have been a lot. What have you guys been playing?
Pokemon Go?
I don't want to talk about Pokemon Go. I'm pissed at it. Brandon, what have you been playing?
I started out playing a little Jet Force Gemini because of a frustration, and then I found new frustrations in Jet Force Gemini. mainly that for some reason I was just like going through, and I was like, oh, look, a map. Oh, neat. I can go look at this. What's this? And then I hit a button and I restarted the level.
Oh, no.
Son of a gun. Why? And then, like, another time I was like, I got my second character. I'm, like, running around with the character. I got pretty far in the level. I'm like, oh, can I just switch over to the other character with better... Nope, you just ended the level with that character. And I was just so mad I proceeded to go play Pokemon Snap for, like, the rest of my time. And I got pretty far in Pokemon Snap. I'm doing pretty good at that.
The original or new Pokemon Snap?
The original Pokemon Snap on the N64.
I like that one. That's a good one.
I've been just trying to get it. You know, I pulled out the N64 controller. Mm-hmm. And I just can't resist just looking at one more N64 game.
Sure.
but then I got my Oculus Quest 3, and I've been playing a couple games on that, but I haven't played any of those.
Meta. It's a Meta Quest 3.
Whatever. But I was mostly tinkering, and man, Doom looks even better on the first. I don't know why I love playing Doom in VR so much, but I love playing Doom in VR a lot.
That's awesome.
I installed the Doom VR like app, but I don't actually have Doom for it. I just have that like little demo thing that's in it, and even that's
it's like 24 megabytes.
Nice.
It's more of a laziness thing.
All right. Yeah, you had to plug it in. You had to put the file in the right place. But man, once you put the file in the right place, you get the mods going. Oh my god, it's so good.
I have to give it to Doom. Like, how old is that freaking game? And it's still like people are still like so actively making WADs for it. Like legit playing it. It's incredible.
I can play Doom on my flipper.
Yeah,
well, I mean. But you don't get to play Doom with the massive gore mods and, like, 3D actual guns that you can hold in your hand, which is really jarring when you walk up to the cardboard characters. just start blasting. Played a little, I also just sort of generally did some of the virtual desktop stuff to see if it's better, and wow. So much cleaner going over there. I mean, it's the resolution uptick is nice, but you can tell it's got way better Wi-Fi capability.
Oh, sure.
It's just everything's so much snappier. And yeah, playing with the 3D printer. I already talked about that. But yeah, that's mainly what. Oh, and Helldivers. Holy cow, I've been playing a lot of Helldivers.
That's
when I can.
That's the one game that's made me like eyeball over at a PS5 because it's not a Xbox game.
It works great.
I know, but I talked about this last week. Then I have to play right where I'm at right now and not in bed, and it's just the whole thing. You know what? Maybe I should boot up the Steam. You know, Steam Link probably would not be good for a game like that.
Some people are playing Steam Link.
Really?
With Helldivers. I'm going to Google that.
I might have to try it. If the latency isn't too bad, maybe I'll have to give it a go. Well, speaking before Justin goes, I want to circle back to the Meta/Oculus thing. Like, who does Facebook think they are to like change a product name after they've already released the product? Like, what are we doing here?
It would be like if they had the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Super Nintendo, and then when the N64 came out, they like changed the name of the company altogether.
It's complex because Facebook got a lot of heat, so they turned it to Meta. And they're like, well, let's slap Meta on everything now. Why is this called Oculus? Forget that company. It's also Meta.
Except Facebook is still Facebook. Like, the parent company is Meta. So Oculus could have still been, like, a subsidiary of Meta and kept that brand recognition.
I think it was more of a we need to make it clear our companies.
Yeah, sure. Things.
Right.
So, I mean, like, admittedly, pretty cool. I mean, like, I remember when I got the Quest 1, it was a lot of work to get it into developer mode so you could start doing stuff with it. And this one, I was very happy to see set like, it
you
up.
You flip a switch in the app and it's done.
Exactly, you flip a switch now. It's like, really? That's it? Okay.
You were ready to tinker.
And wasn't I right? Like, the screen on it is incredible. Like, it sucks that it's crisp. Still not an OLED, but the between the resolution and the field of view, it is a huge improvement over.
Going from Quest 1 over to that was, holy cow. Yeah, it was like, okay, I see what I'm paying for now.
Do you have the Quest 1 as in the Rift or the, like, first Quest that was...
the first...
Like the old black...
Okay, yeah.
The original self-contained Quest headset.
Got it. Yeah, because I have the Rift, and I'm wondering how that change would... Because I feel like I'm going to get a Quest 3 this year at some point, so I'm wondering, like, what that is going to look like the change from the Rift.
That's going to blow you away.
Yeah, I feel like it. Although, the only thing that the Rift had... The resolution was shit on the Rift, but it was an OLED screen, so it did have that to say, you know.
Yeah, same thing with the Quest 1.
Yeah,
you know,
Quest
like,
1, it's OLED, and yeah, it has really good blacks, but, you know, and every other problem. So, it's like, you get a little bit of screen door when you look real close, and you get a lot of halo effect. That happens a lot.
Yeah, but the Quest 3 is just, like, crystal clear screen, and it sucks that it's not an OLED, but the...
comfortable it is. Holy cow.
Yeah, and the contrast, like, honestly, for not being an OLED, the contrast and saturation on the 3 is still noticeably better than the 2. Like, even my 13-year-old, when he started playing on the Quest 3, I could overhear him in the next room telling his friends how much better it is than the 2.
Sure.
The only complaint I have right now is they could improve the battery life.
I haven't had a problem with the battery.
It's I don't know. I played it for an hour. It's got like about 3 hours on it. That's the exact same length of time I have on the Quest 1. So I was a little disappointed. No increase in battery.
They have those like. I've seen like the little battery packs that you like
battery
clip
things
on.
You can attach to it. Yeah.
Feel like
do it all that way, but
I will say, Brandon, that let me start that one again. I will say, Brandon, that headset thing that you sent me is fantastic. So I would recommend getting one for yourself.
I had to get the cheaper one because Amazon wouldn't let me get another of the ones you gave me. It's pretty good. It's still way better than what came with it, but I did not have the option to get like the really nice one I sent your way that was like $45. I got the $30 one.
I mean, I had something similar for my Quest 2, and it's definitely worth the extra money.
Yeah.
Not that the Quest 3, like the Quest 3 has a much better strap than
I could definitely say I tried it with the regular strap and I tried it with this one and I like the little crank on the back that locks it in.
Sure.
Makes me feel like a robot.
Like more like a Borg than you already are, looking like the.
Yeah, yeah. I did also find it kind of fun that I could just walk around the house with it on.
Sure.
In a kind of sort of way.
How is the video like? Latency on there, like, are you? Is it like
the
almost?
The latency's good, but the low light capability is not great. It turns fuzzy very quick in this level of lighting that I have here. So.
Sure,
but it is full color pass through. Like,
it is color.
Whereas
it's
the Quest 2, the Quest 2 was just black and white, but on the Quest 3, like, you basically. It's you're just like seeing straight through. Your depth perception is screwed up a little bit because, of course, the cameras aren't exactly lined up with your eyes. Mm-hmm. But it's still
it's functional, so you could move around. My dog was very bothered by me following her with it.
I cannot wait until summer when I can go outside and play it in the backyard and just have this wide open space to do whatever.
You'll have to do the dishes with them on, and then we'll be talking.
I've got my 3D, I've got my VR space in the basement. That's what the basement space is.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, Justin, what have you been playing? Anything on the Quest 3 or otherwise?
Quest 3 I haven't really done a whole lot with in the past week or two. There was something that I did want to do with it, but didn't get around to doing because I've been spending most of my time, installing mods and hacks and stuff on various other systems. So, as I mentioned last week, I finally hacked my 3DS so that I could install the Virtual Boy emulator, which, oh my god, like, if there was anything that ever legitimized Virtual Boy as a platform, it's playing it on the
3DS. It's great, right?
Crystal clear picture. The 3D is perfect. You don't have to wear a big stupid thing on your face. Like, it's amazing. And I've been playing bunch of Virtual Boy games on that. But also, I've gone a little crazy on the H Shop. So
I know that feeling.
So for anybody who doesn't know, H Shop is basically the homebrew eShop. The difference being you don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
So I'm basically going through and downloading all of the 3DS games that I missed out on, all the virtual console games that I didn't think was worth spending the money on, and just downloading all these things onto my 3DS. I've definitely spent far more time downloading onto the 3DS than I've spent playing on the 3DS.
That's
but
kind
it's
of the
nice
problem,
to...
isn't it?
it's
a
nice
slow
to know that
download.
That... Slow downloads, and, you know, it's like most things that I get, it's more about the having than the actual using.
Sure.
Like, I have all these games on my system, but when will I ever play them?
I had the thing where after I downloaded a bunch of stuff, like, it took so long and it was so slow. I was like, I'm gonna just throw $5 at these
all of
people and hope they get better servers.
Sure.
I've got so much stuff on my home screen that all of my badges are disappearing because, you know, you can only have so many badges.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's my 3DS, mostly been, you know, hacking, playing with, and, you know, playing Virtual Boy. Although, it did inspire me to hack my Wii U. I have not actually done the hack yet, but I downloaded all the stuff that I need onto the SD card. I just have to actually boot up the system and put it in and go through that process. And if it's anything like the 3DS... It's going to be quick and easy, and hopefully I'll be able to play some...
Not that... Wii U's a little harder.
Wii U, yeah, you're not going to get the free games without working, if I understand.
But it's not you can do it, but it's not as easy as a 3D. The 3DS, like, I can give that to, like, you know, my mother, and she could probably follow those instructions, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm following a YouTube video, so at least I've got the visual, you know,
that
guide rather than trying to figure out what a bunch of crap means on a page.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot of time, once again, playing with, not so much playing on my Steam Deck. I have managed to install a few mods and a few hacks and stuff like that, a bunch of emulators, and then another bunch that I still haven't gotten to work yet. First and foremost, I got assist mode to work on Cuphead, which is
nice.
A total game changer. That game is actually fun now.
wow.
And it's not... First of all, it's adjustable. So, like, what it does, like, the default values is it gives you 6 hit points instead of 3, and your attacks do 1.5 times their usual damage, which in the early levels is just a breeze. But in the later levels, you're still, like, I'm still dying. I'm still having to learn patterns and stuff like that. So it hasn't completely ruined the game or ruined the challenge. But you can adjust that, too. Like, if you want to only have 5 hit points instead of 6, you can do that. If you want to, you know, make your attack power double or half. You can do, you know, you can do any of that. So it's a really neat thing, and thank God somebody did it, because the original developers had no interest in letting people, you know, adjust difficulty on it. But it is making the game much more enjoyable, and I have, in just a matter of a couple of playthroughs, was able to catch up to where I got to on the Switch when I finally threw my hands up and said, I'm never going to beat this game.
Sure. So,
I might actually beat it now. I played a mission or two of Grand Theft Auto 4. And so this is where I'm going to get into what kind of disappoints me about the Steam Deck and comparing it to the Switch. Now, the Steam Deck is more powerful than the Switch, like as a hardware, you know, sort of
sure.
thing. Like it's just, yeah, like it's just like a portable computer. But the difference between the Steam Deck and the Switch is when you put the Switch in the dock, it recognizes that it's hooked up to a TV and boosts the maximum resolution, boosts the maximum frame rates, and enables, you know, digital discrete 5.1 surround sound. The dock for the Steam Deck does not do that. So when you put the Steam Deck on the TV, you're literally just putting the Steam Deck on TV. It's still 800p. It's still in stereo instead of surround. So, like, it's not the replacement I hoped it would be for, like, a standalone gaming computer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that said, considering
how... You can adjust that, though. It's just you have to manually do it, don't you?
There's kind of a workaround. If you boot your games in desktop mode rather than gaming mode. And desktop mode, for anybody who doesn't have a Steam Deck, is basically the Steam Deck runs on Linux. And you can either run it in Steam Deck mode, which is, you know, kind of like a Switch or a Game Boy or whatever, in that it, you know, it has its own user interface and all that. Yeah.
Tiles.
Or you can boot it in desktop mode, which is literally just like having a laptop running Linux. So if you boot your games in Linux mode, you can actually adjust the resolution and output settings, but then you're running Linux and these games, so you're going to take a performance hit. So
sounds finicky.
I don't know. Yeah.
You would think they would just have some kind of like script built in when, like, if USB dock, then do X, Y, and Z.
Well, exactly. Like, and that's what kind of disappointed me is, like, Nintendo did it. The Switch knows whether it's plugged into an ordinary USB thing or an actual Nintendo dock. I mean, granted, you can like clone it, but still, like, it knows when it's hooked up to a TV and will say, oh, okay, I guess we can do 1080p instead of just 720p, and, you know, hey, you've got full surround sound instead of stereo. Yeah, thus far, the Steam Deck doesn't have that, and it's disappointing, but considering I've done most of my playing handheld anyway, and Mortal Kombat 1 is currently on sale, so I might end up getting that on the Steam Deck instead of the Switch, since it's gonna look and play better.
I hear Batman.
That's the thing about having the Steam Deck, I would imagine, is just having access to Steam and the sales that Steam provides. It's like, man, oh my goodness.
Last week, while during the podcast, when we were talking about Humble Bundles, I went on the Humble Bundle website and spent at most $20, might have even only been $15, and got like every single Street Fighter game
sure.
and Capcom fighting game in one big bundle. So now I have all of those on my Steam Deck to play. So just like everything else, I'm more collecting games than playing them.
Sure.
I hinted at this earlier when Eugene was talking about video poker. I've actually been playing a lot of video poker myself.
Oh.
In Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh.
Because So I have never played GTA San Andreas far enough to have gotten to, I just dropped my phone, to have gotten to the Las Venturas city. So I never had access to the casinos before.
Sure.
And once you have access to the casinos, that's it. Money will never be an issue again because, you know, unlike real casinos, you actually have a pretty good chance of winning. And I discovered a video poker machine that's $100,000 a bet.
Oh!
And then if you do the five times, you're basically doing $500,000 every bet. But if you win, you're bringing in like hundreds of millions of dollars. So at this point, if I walk or drive by a property I don't already own, I just stop and buy it.
Sure, sure.
When I go into ammunition, I just load up on ammunition and you know, body armor and everything. So I'm set for life on this game.
Money is no object.
It should last.
Yeah, and I can see why that the casinos were not available until the like last leg
kind
of the
breaks
game
everything.
Because, although I do wish it was easier to make money earlier in the game because it would have been nice to be able to buy more safe houses closer to where the missions were. Because I mean, you got your first safe house on Grove Street when you're in, you know, the Los Santos, then you get a safe house that's out in the country, but it's the only safe house you have in the entire, like, you know, boondocks of San Andreas. So, you know, you do a mission and you have to go all the way back to it. And then once you get to San Fierro, which is the San Francisco city, there are like 10 places that you could buy, but you can't afford any of them. So you just have to keep going all the way across the city to save. So I wish that some of that money was available sooner. But, yeah, it's... I've never gotten this far in the game. It is still an incredible game, even all these years later, and...
Maybe when you finally beat it, we can do a 20-year-old spoiler cast, because I just beat it, like, last month.
Like, it definitely says something to the quality of the game design that I am still... I have been playing games from the 90s and early 2000s far more than anything modern lately.
Sure.
In fact, the other game, you know, that I've been playing is, you know, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which I thought I was about ready to beat, but it turns out there's more to the game that
I forgot
about or didn't know about because it's been so long since I've played it, but...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but fortunately, thanks to the lovely rewind feature, there's no chance of losing, because if I miss an action command, I just go back and do it again until I don't take damage.
Very low stakes.
And then, my power is just ridiculously high, so like it only takes like one or two hits to defeat most enemies.
Sure.
And I do the brothers moves on all the bosses, so it still only takes like four or five hits to take them out.
Nice. Sounds like you've been having all the nostalgia lately.
I'm done with that, I'm either going to play Bug Fables, which I've been kind of saving for, you know, that gap between Mario RPGs and the next Mario RPG to come out. Or I might finally play Bowser's Inside Story, since I downloaded that off of the H Shop. And,
have you ever played it before?
I've never played. Superstar Saga is the only. Superstar Saga is the only Mario & Luigi game I've ever played, except I did get the Luigi's Dream Team with my 3DS XL years and years ago and played a little bit of it, but never. Got too far.
I love those games.
Don't go any further. Yeah, the Dream Team was too long. It had so much padding. It was awful at the end.
I think I might be with you in that Inside Story is probably like the sweet spot for that series.
It's what I've heard is that perfect. That's the best one of the series.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really hoping that Nintendo decides to do a remaster of Super Paper Mario after Thousand Year Door comes out, because that's another one that I played some of, but not, you know, never beat, never got super far in it, and I would love to actually finish
it. Was that a launch Wii game, if I'm remembering?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I thought so.
Was it a launch?
Close to launch or at launch?
That's what I thought too. Like,
my phone's still on the floor, so I can't look
so
it up.
So we're like, we're coming up on like the 20-year anniversary of that one, you know? So that would be like a good timing maybe for that. I would buy a remaster of that game. That game was just so funny, you know? Like, the humor in that one was really good. Really good.
That is one thing about the Paper Mario games and all of the Mario RPGs, is they've all got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, for sure.
Great story. It's a good story in Super Paper Mario. They had a lot of great characters.
Yeah, a lot of good throwbacks, too, so... Okay.
It was shortly after release. It was in April, which was like...
Okay, yeah, because not November was launch, so a couple months.
So, funny story that I might have told before. The way I got Super Paper Mario, at the time, I was working at Disney World, and I was a custodian at Disney World, so... you know, I'd have to do the trash runs and go around and, you know, empty all the trash bins and throw them out. Well, when I would do that, I'd pick all of the soda bottles out of the trash bin and save the bottle caps.
Oh, sure.
And that started as I was just doing it to get the free sodas, because what I'd do is I'd go to the convenience store, get a free Coke, pop up some microwave popcorn and bring that into the park with me, and then I wouldn't have to buy snacks when I go in. But I started actually entering the codes into the website. It actually saved up enough codes to get Super Paper Mario for free.
That's pretty good.
Oh, I remember doing something very similar to that when I worked at a pizzeria.
Nice.
But yeah. I don't think I ever and got then I never anything as good as the Super game. Paper Mario.
I used to do stuff like that at GameStop, but I won't talk to about it on air because it was not
the Nintendo
codes.
I did anytime anybody traded anything into a Game Nuts, first thing I'd do is check and make sure that sleeve was still in there and then immediately put it into my account.
It got to the point where
I would enter codes and they're like, you already redeemed this game. I'm like, oh, okay.
That used to be the proliferation of like camera phones, because before I even worked at GameStop, I used to do stuff like that when I was like, you know, a teen. I would go into GameStop and of course they would just gut the box, but they would leave all the stuff like the manual and all the codes, all the good stuff's in there. And I would just be like, snap, 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 and then just go home and enter on all the codes. And I think I got like 3 or 4 copies of what is it called? The Zelda Collector's Edition that way that I just kind of gave away to friends that I don't even speak to anymore. I wish, screw those guys. Those things are worth like $90 a pop now. I should have just kept them for myself.
Wait, the what? What?
The GameCube Zelda Collector's Edition thing. It had like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, those things are going for a pretty penny anymore.
That's a shame. That is an absolute shame, because that was a great little collection.
I still have my mine, but I wish I still had like 5 of them, because like I said, I scammed GameStop or whoever the poor person was that bought the gutted game.
They weren't paid you enough, to be honest.
Well, that was before I even worked there, but yeah, when I was working there, we won't talk about that.
Not like you ever plan on working there again.
I'm just thinking of all the times where... Man, that was such a cool place when it worked.
GameStop.
Every event. Good luck.
Right.
Before we close out the podcast, there is one more thing that I want to talk about, because it arrived in the mail yesterday or the day before, and that is the Super Mario Brothers 1993 movie, and the numbered limited edition 4K Blu-ray box set with all the special features and everything. I'm I'm popping this in and watching it either tonight or tomorrow night because this is gonna be a trip. But yeah, this thing's first of all, I mean, they have the non-limited edition still, but it's on umbrellaentertainment.com or whatever whatever the Umbrella Entertainment website is. This was kind of a passion project of the Super Mario Brothers movie website and Twitter page, where they've just spent years kind of documenting the movie and lost stuff from the movie and designs and things like that. So all of that's collected in here. The original, I don't know whether it was the original, yeah, okay, a brand new 4K restoration from the original camera negative.
Oh.
We're talking professional here. Plus 4K scans of all of the deleted scenes. Like, this is like an incredibly professional release of this movie. Had to be imported from Australia because... I guess in Australia it was distributed by a different company, so it was easier to get the licensing rights, whereas, you know, in the US and I think Europe, it was distributed by Disney. Going to be kind of hard to get the licensing rights for that one. But yeah, I cannot wait. This is the greatest terrible movie ever. And I cannot wait to watch it on my big screen TV in ultra high definition.
How much do you think John Leguizamo made for your purchase? Like a dollar or two? Like he's getting some royalties there, right?
All I know is it just brings me back to watching this movie in the theater.
He's pretty much the only one who can make money off of it.
Everybody else is dead. I know, for real.
That just reminds me, like, Justin, remember watching it at, like, launch day? We both went together and, like, super excited about seeing Yoshi for a fraction of a second. Look, that's Yoshi!
And then,
that's Yoshi!
And then I remember walking out of the theater after the cliffhanger ending and being like, oh my god, what's going to happen in the sequel? We were young and dumb.
This should have been a sequel. There still should be some kind of like fan made, like get John Leguizamo.
They can animate it.
Yeah, I would take that for sure. Okay, well, now you got me jealous, and I'm going to go find my pirated version from probably you, actually, that I have on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah, that was what I watched the last time, but I'm excited for this. This is, I almost wish I'd bought two of them so I could keep one in the package, because it's going to tear my heart out to rip this cellophane, but...
Sure.
I can't buy it and not watch it.
Well, I guess we'll be waiting on your review of that and your review of Pokemon Sleep next week. Until then, I think we call it an episode here. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brandon, for joining me this evening. Always a pleasure. I think next week, if it's another slow one, I might try and whip together a game, but no promises. We'll just kind of have to see how the week pans out, because it's always fun. All right. Well, catch you guys later on. Go register to vote so this country doesn't go into chaos. Love you. Bye. See ya.
Peace out, guys.
Trust the fungus.